is half-hearted and with things in your life. You're wasting your time. The Scripture bears that out. We must come to Him with a repentant heart that is pure and honest when we worship and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we focus on God by living in an attitude of praise and worship, daily stresses and worries will not overwhelm your heart. Now, I didn't say we wouldn't have daily stresses and worries. We do. We're walking through this life. We have things that we have to encounter and things we have to deal with. But I'm telling you what, praising and worshiping God and having a clean, pure heart, they will not overtake you. And they will not take advantage of you and overwhelm you. So it behooves us to have a clean and pure heart worshiping God. And true worship helps us to be a kingdom-minded, keep our priorities in order. And I'll tell you, a lot of times, being in that frame of mind, it might just make you break out praising and singing. How many do that? I'd like a show of hands. My grandpa used to say, I don't care if it's in B flat and a half. I'll sing it. And my old grandpa, I tell you, he in church, I just like that old song we sang today. You try to give grandpa a book. He said, I don't need a book. And they would sing the verses, and he would just, like, what was we singing? Sing the wonder, sing the wonder. And, buddy, when they hit the chorus, he knew every word. When we all get to heaven. But you couldn't give him a book to make him sing the verses. He didn't care if he knew that part. But I'm telling you, he would sing out and not make a lick of sense, really, just listening to you. But I'm telling you, sometimes you just have to break out in a song and break out in a little bit of praise. Amen. Amen. Living for God is a lifelong process of maturation and growth. I've told you several times, you don't plateau in living for God. You don't reach a level and say, oh, this is it. I'm good to go. No, sir. It is a steady climb the whole time. Conversion is simply a miracle of a moment, but living for God is a lifetime journey of personal and spiritual development. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Our pastor mentioned the other night about roots and their what they do. I tell you, the root holds up the tree. The tree don't hold the roots. And people that will get people converted and fill the Holy Ghost and baptize in Jesus' name, set them down and give me another one and not teach them and try to guide and lead them and give them something to go on and grow, pretty soon they wonder where they went. They're not sitting there anymore. What happened? I'm telling you, there's more to it than just being saved. Hallelujah. There's a maturation period. There's a growth period that we go through from now till eternity. Amen. Amen. So accepting Christ as Lord of your life, that's simply the beginning of life with Christ. Amen. But we got to continue to follow His leadership. Being rooted, the Scripture says, built up, established in the faith. And every day, He desires to lead and guide you and help you with your everyday problems. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I'm facing things in my life day to day, it seems like I just can't hardly deal with. Lord, let me go to the rock. And let me start praising and worshiping You. And I'll praise my way right out of this valley, that song said. Amen, amen. And just as plants draw nourishment from the soil through their roots, so we draw our life from Him. The carnal flesh and the fleshly appetites, according to Romans 8 and 7, is enmity against God. And I tell you, it will continually war against the person who is trying to walk uprightly and circumspectly before God and before man, and who's trying to praise and worship Him. I'm telling you, If you don't praise and worship, if you don't do things for God and do like, you're no threat to the devil. Chances are he's not even going to fool with you. You're not doing anything to stop his cause. But I'm telling you, anybody that wants to get down to business with God and live for God better get ready to do battle. Hallelujah. But you can do it. You can do it. I tell you, walking with God in this attitude of worship, it will enable us to control our desires, our unruly desires, our fleshly desires. And I thank God for that. I tell you, the sacredness and the presence of God should cause us to lay aside any lighthearted attitude or any casual attitude, because He is sacred. And when we come before Him, we should come before Him, in reverence to His sacredness. And when you go, if you lived in a country such as England, and I don't know how you feel about these kings and queens and all this kind of stuff, but as heads of state, you observe protocol. You don't go in there lighthearted, and you observe the protocol of the moment in the presence of deity or in the presence of a king. I remember years ago, Queen Elizabeth came to America. It's been a long time back, but I never will forget it. And she kind of wanted to meet people in America. So they were at this house, and I'm sure she had this entourage around her. And it's always been said, you notice the queen always wears gloves. She won't shake hands without that glove on. That glove's got to be on. Well, they knocked on this door, and this lady came to the door and saw the queen. Immediately she recognized her. And instead of whatever the protocol was, she just reached out and grabbed her. Gave her a big old hug, stuff like that. And I mean, they said the whole bunch of them just, they come alive then. They separated her from that woman. They didn't know what was fixing to happen. But there is a protocol and a way to approach God. And it is with reverence. And it is with a pure and a clean heart. Amen. He is sacred. And when we get to heaven and we fall on our knees and worship to an awesome God, I tell you, His glory is going to so overwhelm us, we're fixing to throw our crowns at His feet. My royalty, or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't mean a thing compared to the God I serve. Hallelujah. Everything will praise and glorify God. And according to Scripture, those who fail to bow now in repentance and worship will bow down at that time in His presence. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, those at the last judgment, those who are condemned and never recognize God, will recognize His authority and right to rule at that time, whether you want to or not. And I know I've even heard people in the media who are so disgusted with Christians. And I remember one guy in particular made the comment. He said, I if they talk about being caught in a rapture, I wish they would hurry up and leave. Why? Because they want to continue with their agenda that is not conducive to Christian living, and actually want us, well, I'll tell you what, sometimes it's hard to let my flesh keep my flesh from rising up. And I thought to myself, big boy, give it enough time. You're fixing to get your wish. Now you talk about all hell breaking loose. Wait till the church leaves. Hallelujah. But I tell you, at the last judgment, everyone is going to recognize Jesus' authority and His right to rule. And people can commit right now and choose to worship God, or you can wait until that day and you will worship Him and recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to do it while I'm down here. Hallelujah. I want my feet to leave this ground when the trumpet sounds. Amen. In the preparation of our worship, there's an expectancy in corporate worship. And when Israel was journeying through the wilderness, the tabernacle was always placed in the middle of a camp, of the camp. And it was more than just a geographical location. Its position sort of illustrated that our worship should be at the center of our life. Amen. And the early church met together for worship when there were threats and there was persecution on them. And when they came together, Acts 4 and 31 says their prayer and their worship actually shook the place. And I tell you, in Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews instructed the people to continue to assemble regularly for worship and to encourage others to do the same. I tell you, there is strength in unity. And that's an old cliche, but it still works today. There is strength in unity. When we come together to worship, the Spirit of God is present to edify and meet the needs of the people. Worship involves both the worshiper and the recipient. Amen. And when the congregation begins to worship and magnify God, His glory and His power comes down and begins to empower the people and the sin. He has promised to be there. He says in His word in Matthew, hey, if two or three are gathered together in My name, I'm going to be in the midst. But I'm telling you, those two or three have to be agreeing with a pure heart and a good conscience and a right heart and clean hands and the right mode of worship. Amen. For that scripture to be honored. So as we sing praises and we worship Him, His presence begin to fill the house because each believer should bring God with them to the house of God. A lot of times we talk about we come to the house of God to meet with God. You need to have Him in your heart already, bringing Him through the door. Amen, amen. The scripture talks about the deep calling unto the deep. And if you read that scripture, it's talking about a water spout. And as the water begins to move, which represents us, and it begins to move, the wind begins, the first thing you know, that water spout hits the surface of that water and makes a connection. The deep is calling unto the deep. We come into this house with the presence of God in our hearts, and we begin to cry out. He begins to respond, and the deep begins to call to the deep. Hallelujah. We begin to meet God in the house of God. Amen. Amen. So there is a necessity of one accord. When the 120 met before the day of Pentecost, they were in one place with one accord. And a spirit of togetherness had unified them. They were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the book of Acts recorded several occasions of the early church coming together. And these early church believers, I mean, they fill Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times Paul in his writings, you will see how he warned against being divided and being divisive. And there's nothing that's going to tear apart a body of believers like being separate and being conflict. And we need to avoid that. And I'm so glad that I attend a church where, as far as I know, there's none of that taking place. Brother, we all pulling together, and we all worship together. We all praise together. Amen. The presentation of our worship. Jesus Christ is our worship leader. The Holy Spirit works in a dynamic way from within His believers. Luke chapter 24, I think it is, says, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. And I probably mentioned it before, that word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamite. It is a regenerative power. It is not a power that is spent and is no more. And when God works through us through His power, it lasts forever. Hallelujah. It is an ongoing power. It is never depleted. And when we worship Him, we as a church body can expect healings and deliverance from a sinful bondage And I tell you, we ought to expect God to just do the impossible when we come together and lift him up in praise and adoration. And I tell you, he will lead us into areas of ministering to the body. And we will witness miracles of healing and salvation. The Bible talks about signs and wonders. I tell you what, that's what I desire to see, is more signs and wonders. And I tell you, I thought about when we were attending church in De Quincy, and we were coming to Carlos. I don't know if anybody remembers that. But we were coming down here and having a series of, I guess we was in that old church, I'm sure. That's been years ago. But I tell you, when we would leave De Quincy, we would be praying on that bus. And by the time we got to Carlos, we had already had church. But we brought church in with us. And we had some marvelous services. People were touched. People were healed. And I remember one time I was sitting in the seat right behind the driver. And the driver, Brother Holly Royer. I know a lot of people may know Brother Holly. And we were, some were singing, some were praising. And I got to looking. Holly had his eyes shut and had his hands up worshiping. Now, I know you're not supposed to read, you're not supposed to text, you're not supposed to do this while you're driving, but he was praising the Lord while he was driving, and the bus never left our lane. I can't tell you how long it was. It probably wasn't a long time. But I'm telling you, when you got your mind and your heart on God, God takes care of everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The levels of praise. It's more than just lyrics that somebody has put to a melody. Singing is an outlet of the soul that expresses our emotions as we worship God. Some people may weep. Some clap their hands. Some may shout as we sing praises. And musicians play their instruments in worship to God. And I'm so thankful for these musicians that we've got up here. I tell you, some of the best in the world. But I encourage them, just as I encourage us that do not play instruments that praise and worship. Every chord you play, every chord on that guitar, every lick on that drum, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it with praise and with worship. And I understand the fact that everybody wants to be in the same key and on the same beat and stuff like that. But I tell you, never get away from the fact that what you're doing is praise and worship. Hallelujah. Every word, note, and chord, give glory to God. Amen. And I know sometimes because of sickness and the trials in this life, it may be difficult for a person to sing and give praise. But I tell you what, you want to get through the stresses of this life and your problems? Sing. Worship and praise. I tell you, it will make those things begin to fade away. Hallelujah. Health limitations sometimes make it impossible to express ourselves in worship like we would desire. But I tell you, your heartfelt worship, it pleases God. I don't care what shape you're in. There was a little man that went to our church in De Quincy, Brother Ray Alston. You remember him, Brother Baggett? He was little, he wasn't about that tall standing up. He'd probably been like that. That man was so crippled. He had one leg, it was his right leg, I think it was so crippled. He drug it. If you looked at the inside of his shoe on the edge, it was worn almost into his sock. Crippled up arms, walked with a cane. They would bring him every church service on the bus. And I'd watch Ray. And he would stand up with that cane and worship as best he could. And one night, the church was worshiping and the Spirit of God was moving. And I don't know who told who or who prompted him to, guys. But Brother Red Van Winkle, that's Brother Buddy's brother, and Brother Elmer Broxson grabbed Ray under the arm on each side and freed his legs up to worship. And they carried him all around that church, and his legs were just a giving it this. He'd pull them up and just, you know, and probably for the first time in a long time, if ever, he got to express himself like everybody else. He got to go up and down the aisle moving his legs. You know, and I said all that to say this. God, don't let me have good health and strength and the ability and sit there like a bump on a pickle. Help me to worship you, oh God, when I don't feel like it. Habakkuk said, if there's nothing in the stall, if there's no olives on the tree, if there's no fruit on the vine, still I'm going to worship you, God. Hallelujah. We need to praise Him. It's a lot easier to sing when the skies are blue. But I tell you, the same God that resides in your heart when the skies are blue is there when the skies are gray. I don't know if how many of you ever flown. I haven't flown a whole lot, but I've left the ground before with gray skies and rainy and nasty, and in just a little while, it was nothing but blue skies. You can get above all of that. Hallelujah. Your praise and your worship can take you above all of that. Amen. So let's be consistent in our praise. Abraham went to the mountain to offer his son Isaac. Daniel prayed three times a day, waiting for the lions to be thrown in the lion's den. And Paul and Silas sang praises with their backs beaten and bloody. And it looks like there was no hope for release from prison. But through their prayer and their praise, they overcame it all. I don't need to sit here and tell you those three stories. You already know them. You know what praise and worship can do. Amen. So the results of our worship, we've already talked about how a walk with God is an ongoing process toward perfection. And we should desire, after being born again, having the sincere milk of the Word, we should desire to grow and have the spiritual meat of the Word. I'm running out of time here. I'm about to close. Worship will change other people. You will find that if you worship, people around you will change. And I tell you, I want to get close to somebody that's a good worshiper and a good praiser. I want to be a part of that. Amen, amen. John, I'll close John chapter 4 and verse 24. You all know this story about the woman at the well and when she had an encounter with Jesus Christ. But verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when He was talking to that little woman about worship, I think somehow or another, she began to turn what was becoming a focus on her. She began to turn the conversation toward where we should worship. Well, our fathers say we should worship here. You know, yours, they say you should worship over there. I tell you, God is a spirit. And that means He's not a physical being limited to one place. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere and can be worshipped anytime and anywhere. And it's not where we worship that counts, but it's how we worship. And I've told you, not only in this building, but out away from here, we should still worship. Amen. So the location of worship is not nearly so important as the attitude of worship. And I've often said before, I don't know if I've mentioned it here, but when we come to this house, and we worship God, and we praise, and we sing, you ought to be filling your tank up. Because when you leave here, we're just sitting here basking in the Word of God and all that the church has to offer. But when you leave here, that's where the rubber meets the road. And what you got here is what you take.